This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Hi, this is Robert Reese, and welcome to the Middle Market Transformative CEO Show with my co-host, Joe Bruswellis, Chief Economist of RSM. We interview top middle market CEOs so you could gain insights onto how to grow your own business and become a transformative CEO.
Hello, America. Robert Reese here with Joe Bruswellis, and our guest today is Cindy Bigelow, CEO of Bigelow Tea. How are you?
Well, thanks for inviting me. I'm very excited to be here, and I'm doing fantastic.
And let's start off with, Joe, if you could give a definition, because this is a transformative middle market CEO. So talk about what the definition for the middle market is.
Right. So we're focusing on that niche portion of the economy that's often overlooked. It represents firms that have revenues between $10 million and $2 billion. It generates about 40% of U.S. GDP, so that's about $7.3 trillion. Not insignificant sum, and they happen to employ one-third of all workers here in the United States. It's important that we have people like Cindy on to provide insight into what's happening in the heart of the real economy.
So I want to start off, what's most interesting to me is the number of different products that you have. I know you're the largest independent tea retailer, manufacturer in America. How do you have so many different products? It seems a little bit mind-boggling to me of all these different flavors coming in.
Well, first of all, thanks for liking our teas. Secondly, we're not the largest private. We're actually the number one specialty tea company in the United States. Both public and private, we're the number one. So I'm very, very proud
of that.
Thank
you for that clarification.
I think you needed that small correction. I'm happy to be in the middle market. We're about $200 million in sales. And we do feel that that's a very important part of the United States economy. And for me, you know, this is about being transformative, right? And how do you keep your company relevant, vibrant, thriving? And so new lines is an integral part of our growth. Some of the teas that we've actually launched in the last 6-7 years are actually some of our number one teas now. And so what we try to do and what we constantly do, as all CEOs need to be doing, is, you know, where is the consumer going? What's important to him and her? What are the trends saying both inside and outside of your particular market? And then really sort of envisioning, taking that data, envisioning that, and figuring out, you know, what are the product lines that you can now offer? And there's a lot of product lines that are very popular for us that when I first really kind of pitched the idea to the team or however the idea was even developed, they weren't quite sure the market was ready for it yet. But I'm happy to say that they were. So, for example, years ago, we launched a pumpkin tea for the holidays. People were like, that's just impossible. No one's going to drink a pumpkin tea. And I said, I think the market's ready for these kind of very flavorful, bold, festive holiday teas. And they have now been hugely successful.
I want to interrupt you there. So you're saying, I think the market. Is this a science? Is this an art? What is the real process for innovation at Bigelow?
I would tell you that most any CEO will tell you that it's a combination for sure. You take your facts. You run it through sort of what I call, you know, a computer of what are the various things you need to think about. And then it does have to, when it's all said and done, it has to work with intuition, in my opinion. And so it's that combination of market data or however the data has come your way, plus intuition for where you want to be going.
So take us through the innovation timeline. From the time you pitch the idea, whether it's intuition or something that's more comes out of the lab, right?
Well, it should be a combination. I can't just sit there and say, well, I can't.
So from the time of inception to the time of introduction,
right,
what's the average time frame?
Well, that's very interesting. It does vary per line because sometimes they might be technologically more challenging. So, for example, we launched a probiotic tea, and anyone can launch a probiotic tea, but it's the efficacy that makes Bigelow different. And so we had to make sure that we could work with a probiotic company that was going to deliver a probiotic all the way through the boiling water into the gut that was actually going to be effective at an amount that was going to be effective after 2 or 3 cups. So that will take us longer to develop that. That took us about a little over 2 years, and we had to work specifically with Ganaden, which is the company that creates that. Other lines might take a shorter period of time. So if we're doing sort of a specialty tea for one of our customers, we can probably, don't tell that to my R&D team, they don't want to hear this, but we could probably do that within 12 months.
Wow, that's pretty quick.
Yeah.
So let's get into
they think so too.
Let's get into who your client base is, right? Not just, you know, the stores that are selling your goods, but also the end users. And do you have differentiated products to hit different market segments?
We do have, for sure, different products that are focused on different channels, whether it's international or whether it's a away from home food service. But yeah, we will design lines specifically for channels or for markets.
And do you compete against coffee, or does coffee help you? So when more people are moving into drinking coffee, does that help or hurt your business?
Well, for all the coffee drinkers that are listening, I'm not going to say it helps us, but I'd like to say that we complement each other. A lot of people will start their day with a cup of coffee, and then they will transition to tea. And actually, many people are starting to really, because there's been that whole coffee, energy, caffeine craze. You know, and I said years ago, I said, that's going to take its place. It's going to kind of, I think, really hit a certain point where people are going to say, how much caffeine can I have? So we're seeing a lot of people really convert to tea their entire day, which is, of course, that's a win for us.
Okay, I'm gonna,
we don't mind playing with coffee.
Okay. You know, well, I'm thinking the more people drink, they might have more, but it might cut also. So what I'm curious about is, actually, for so many people drinking tea, is there a correct way to prepare the tea and to drink it? We've hundreds of thousands of listeners here. We have Cindy Bigelow on, so just give us advice.
All right, we'll make this quick, but there's definitely the best way to make a cup of tea. But what I always respectfully say is the tea police are not going to come to your home and chase you down if you're not doing it the right way. But you have to always start with cold water. It is the aeration, the bubbles in the cold water, which is what unfurls the tea leaf. So you have to start with fresh. Again, don't worry if you don't. You've asked me for the best way. I'm giving it to you. Start with cold water that has all of the air bubbles in it. And then as soon as it comes to a boil, you don't want to lose all those air bubbles. At that point, you'll pour it over your tea bag, hopefully Bigelow tea bag, please. And then actually, if you have anything like a saucer to put it over, you actually do want to let it steep. That flavor, the antioxidants, you want to actually want to keep it into that mug or whatever you're drinking it from. And then from there, about after 4 to 5 minutes, you really should remove the tea bag. You do not want to squeeze the tea bag, at least for green and for black. Herbal, it doesn't matter. And then enjoy your beautiful cup of tea. Bigelow tea.
Okay, so take us inside the Bigelow experience. We have a pretty strong economy right now. Labor markets, as tight as it's been in over a generation. What's it like to operate a company in these conditions?
I will tell you that we're finding the market incredibly beneficial to us right now. And the reason why I would say that is, years ago, as a medium-sized company, we can't compete with the larger companies from a financial perspective. They can pay more than us. That's just how it is. So we lost a lot of very talented people. Of course, we had talented people. We lost a lot of talented people to work with these companies that were paying a lot more. We're actually seeing a real influx into companies, and I think like ours, but I know ours for sure, that they're willing to sacrifice pay for a better quality of life and a better culture. So what I've worked my entire career to do is to build that culture and to keep us competitive price-wise, please. But we've really seen people like knocking on the door to try to work at a company where they feel honored and they can trust the organization. So from a corporate perspective, really good. From a hourly perspective, in Fairfield, Connecticut, and on our manufacturing plant, we're doing very well, and also getting an influx of very high quality people, I think for the same reasons, because they trust the company like it. In our other two plants, it is more competitive, and it is harder for us to really retain, but we have to focus on our culture. We always know there's going to be a car manufacturer down the street from us or whatever. It's going to be a computer company. They're going to pay more. So we have to stay focused. We can't compete financially. We have to be competitive, but it's all about culture for us, and that's what we have to sell is our culture.
I want to hear your insights from leading a family business. That is a people really like the product. What is going through your mind of what you, and you're smiling now, I see, of what to do and what not to do to make that family business move forward?
The first one is that you are running a family business. It has 70 years, almost 75 years of heritage, and it's on your shoulders. And it is your responsibility to run it as the appropriate steward. And I look at myself as a steward. It's not about me making a mark. It's about me running the organization as it was originally intended to do and keep it as a family organization moving forward that stays true to its values. So that's the first thing. The second thing is it applies to every CEO, public or private, is you are an employer. You have, in our particular case, 400, not just individuals, 400 families that work for you. And it's your responsibility to not forget that and understand what that means for these people. We have to be the role models. We have to understand it's not just the employee, but it's their family that we're impacting. And so you need to keep both of those things in your mind, and it really is, that's the drive, the pressure, the reward, the stresses that every day is part of my day and my life moving forward.
We're going to take a break, and we are speaking with Cindy Bigelow. Back in a few.
Ever wonder how Bitcoin and Ethereum were created? Vercel Media has helped hundreds of companies and individuals make their own cryptocurrency. Decentralized blockchain solutions are making the world more transparent and giving power back to the people. Vercel Media has helped companies raise tens of millions in the past year alone, structuring and marketing ICOs to the thirsty crypto public worldwide. Don't miss the cryptocurrency revolution. Visit VercelMedia.com, VercelMedia.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of Nutramedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at Nutramedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations for referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Message and data rates may apply. Please don't text while driving.
If you've been in business more than 20 minutes, you've probably printed your logo on all kinds of promotional products. We all know logos work because they're on everything from the top of skyscrapers to the bottom of shoes. Ever wondered why or how to best use your logo to grow your business? Let us show you today for free. We're 4imprint, promotional product experts at your service. We're giving away the latest issue of Amplify, the digital magazine that reveals promotional product success stories absolutely free to everyone who texts UP77 to 88988. At 4imprint, we make your logo look perfect on thousands of promotional items. With our 100% guarantee, it'll be right the first time, on time, every time. Your free e-magazine will reveal invaluable insights that can attract new customers, build your brand, and grow your business. Get the latest issue of Amplify absolutely free by texting UP77 to 88988. That's UP77 to 88988.
Healthcare reform is confusing, but whether it's finding an affordable insurance plan, keeping your doctor, or being able to afford needed prescriptions, navigating the healthcare system has become a challenge. Control your own healthcare costs and choices with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of each other's medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Hi, this is Robert Reese, Joe Bruswellis, and we're on the Middle Market Transformative CEO Show with Cindy Bigelow, who is smiling now. And I want to shift to a question and ask about international business, and what is your take on that now?
Well, for us, international has two meanings, right? For RT, it comes internationally from around the globe. I visit the gardens whenever possible. So from an international perspective, we're very impacted because our product comes from, as I said, around the world. And we also have a small portion of our business that we also sell internationally as well. And that actually has been a real area of focus for us and been a real nice area of growth for us as well over the last few years.
So the United States this time finds itself unexpectedly ensnared in a three-front trade war. The United States hasn't been in a trade war, a legitimate one, since the 1920s and 1930s. How is the tariff policy from the administration impacting Bigelow?
You know, it's funny. When you first read about these and read what's happening and then you watch on the news and you read in the various forms of whatever, how you get your information, I wasn't sure what the impact was going to be. It's been significant. I don't know for other middle market, smaller organizations. Again, we're about $200 million. But we have been significantly impacted by what the administration is doing. First of all, our claim to fame is we make 2 billion bags a year, 2 billion bags that are in foil. That is the only way to really protect the oils and all the ingredients that we get from the globe. That aluminum tariff was crushing for our little tea company. In addition, we're dealing now with Mexico and some issues that are coming in from our product going both sides of the border, product that we bring in from there and product that we sell there. So we're really, really having an issue. In addition, we're concerned about our supply around the globe due to the trade wars we're experiencing. So we are being forced to think long term and bring in a lot more inventory than we would normally in order to protect obviously, to protect our sources.
That's really important here. I want to come back to that, so please continue.
Yeah, so we have made a commitment to bring in about almost six times more from some of the countries of concern. We are bringing them in and housing them on this side.
What are the storage costs? Well, how are you opting to store it? What's the plan if demand doesn't materialize in the way that your forecast indicates?
Well, we are storing it on the outside. We do not have the capability, so all the costs that are associated with that. We actually just estimated that between the tariffs and the additional inventory and the back and forth that our little tea company is looking at over $1.5 million a year, close to $2 million a year impact. Our company is not that big. That is a large blow to our organization.
So for the last 2 years, I've been traveling globally, and we have a very large business in Mexico and Canada.
Okay.
So we went down to Mexico, and we started talking about diversifying supply lines, materials used at earlier stages of production, and intermediate goods. What are your options to diversify away from that risk associated with the tariffs?
You know, that's a fantastic question. What I'd like to say is that what makes Bigelow Tea is our product. Our products are different, right? So we can't just buy a product from a country, and if that country becomes an issue, we can just go somewhere else. The taste profiles are completely different. And so if we're sourcing from these countries that we're having issues with, we have to pay what it takes to get that product in. Now, we have tried for years to try to diversify where we get our products so that we're not so committed to these countries, but the quality isn't there. And whatever happens, as a private company, we are able to handle some of the financial hits. But whatever happens, I can't allow the quality to degrade. And so we're very committed to these countries. And from an aluminum perspective, the tariffs went everywhere. And so there was no way we could even get aluminum from anywhere else that we weren't going to be affected by that.
Right, because we expected the disruption of the supply chains at a profoundly micro level rather than macro. But eventually it does flow through to price, correct?
Well, unfortunately, we're trying to stay, you know, hold where we are right now, but and we can go through it for a year, but then after that, we'd have to definitely
pass
it to the consumer.
That's really interesting. You know, in our middle market business index, we are seeing pricing power return. And my interpretation of this is that, yeah, things are better. But B, at a certain point, middle market firms are just not going to accept thinning margins, and the price pressures are going to have to move downstream. And again, that's very difficult to do, right?
It is, and as again, we're fortunate because we're private.
Yeah.
But I look at our shareholders as our employees, right? Their bonus is based on how we perform from an operating mm-hmm. margin. So I'm very open and honest with our employees about where we actually stand from a margin perspective. So I explain to them that this year coming up, our margins could be severely impacted, which is going to affect everybody's bonus. But I can only do that for about a year. And as you said, at that point, I got to come in, I got to increase
prices. And I would imagine negotiating contracts with different companies, right? Not everybody's Amazon, where they've got cloud computing that can cover whatever increase in cost and they'll just accept it, right? This has got to be something you're worried about looking, not just next year, but 2, 3, 4 years out, depending on however long this goes.
Well, I never worried that the administration could impact our organization as much as it's been impacted. So, yeah, that wasn't actually on my radar 2, 3 years ago. We had normal price increases. We dealt with, you know, ensuring that, you know, our supply chains were properly aligned for future growth. But this is a variable that has really become a talking point for the executive team. It's a constant.
All right, one more question because we
sure.
could go on with this forever. Who do you turn to? Is it a profoundly local option, a trade association in Washington, D.C., or is it more private interacting with your vendors and your suppliers to really say, hey, this can't go on much longer?
It is working with our vendors. Many of our vendors we've been with for 20 and 30 years. We're, you know, as a family company, we're very loyal, which I think is another thing about family, private, middle market companies. We really have relationships. And it's really working with them on solutions. It really is.
So, Cindy, about 2 minutes left. I want to shift this fascinating conversation here to your leadership philosophy, because you really spend a lot of time on vision, on building the culture. Talk about what your main themes are.
Well, from a leadership perspective, right, in my opinion, I have one goal. That's to ethically grow the company for the long term. And so I need to constantly be thinking about what does that mean 2, 3, 4, 5 years out. So, for example, I knew that my executive team was getting to an age where they were really all going to be retiring in a 5-year time frame. So about 3 to 5 years before that, I had to start really planning for what the succession was. What's the development plan? What do we need to lay out as a team in order to have a seamless transition from the executives? Because the pressure on my shoulders without the executives I've worked with for many years and all new ones, I knew that that was going to increase substantially. So you're always planning for the future. But I always say what also makes a family different business is that we know the details. We understand the details. We can get down deep. We can understand how the systems work, how the product works, how the process works. And I think that also really helps with my leadership style, is that I'm not so disconnected with how the actual operations works that I can make strategically wrong decisions moving forward. So one of the things that I've worked with my current leadership team on is I know you're all coming in at executive level. You've been at executive levels. But in this organization, you also need to get in there and you need to roll up your sleeves and you need to understand the nuts and bolts of how this organization works. So when you are laying out a game plan and a strategy, you really understand how this organization works. And I always say, when you get here, just relax for the first 6 months. Just take it easy. Get to know the people, the strong players that you can lean on, and from there you can formulate a game plan to help us drive the business forward.
On that note, Cindy, a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you. Thank you both. Appreciate it. It's nice to have an opportunity to talk about something I love.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Let's talk tough. Let's talk comfort. Let's talk about down-home value. Made in the USA blue jeans, like you wore as a kid. Remember?
There's a place down in Tennessee where they make blue diamond gusset jeans. They show pride in every stitch. Guarantee you love the way they fit. Put a diamond gusset in the crotch where you need it most. Blue diamond gusset's got it. Others don't.
For good old-fashioned comfort, get diamond gusset jeans. Every stitch guaranteed. And our Defender motorcycle jean comes Kevlar reinforced. See them at GUSSET.com. That's gusset.com. Or call 888-848-7738. That's 888-848-7738. Diamond gusset jeans got it. Others don't.
Ever wonder how Bitcoin and Ethereum were created? Vercel Media has helped hundreds of companies and individuals make their own cryptocurrency. Decentralized blockchain solutions are making the world more transparent and giving power back to the people. Vercel Media has helped companies raise tens of millions in the past year alone, structuring and marketing ICOs to the thirsty crypto public worldwide. Don't miss the cryptocurrency revolution. Visit VercelMedia.com. V-E-R-C-E-L Media.com.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Reese, and welcome to the CEO Show. We're here today with Matt Calkins. How are you, Matt?
I'm doing great, Robert. Great to be here.
And Matt is the CEO of Appian, which is a company we've interviewed you in the past, Since then you've had a highly successful IPO. I think it was it the best performing software?
It was the top performing software IPO of 2017.
Well, congratulations on that. So we're going to talk about that later, and about the future we'll also talk about in terms of artificial intelligence and how that's changing the business environment. But for right now, let's talk about Appian. You do something that no one else really does, which is called low code. Talk about the concept of what low code is.
Low code is a big new idea. It's a new way of building software, writing very little or maybe no code at all in order to build it, which means that you can build it 10 or 20 times faster than you would have been able to build software the old way. This is important because these days, everybody's got to build software, right? Every company, every organization, everyone feels like, you know, you've heard this cliche, every company has to be a software company these days, right? Everyone feels the pressure to build software, not just to save costs, but partly to manage these sprawling organizations and then to have better customer service, to digitally transform, and to differentiate against their competitors. For all these reasons, every company needs to build their own software, and low-code makes it easy. Just think how difficult it is for a company that isn't fundamentally a software company in the first place to write their own software and to feel like their competitive differentiation depends upon it. Their customer relationships depend upon it. It's a lot to ask, and it's been really difficult using old methods.
So how does low code actually work? We understand you're saying it works dramatically faster. What is this machine learning induced, or what is it?
It's like drawing a picture. You make boxes and arrows. It looks like a flowchart. Mm-hmm. You draw the application the way it's supposed to run, and then you fill in the boxes by configuring and building rules and objects, but it's all done with the mouse, right, and a few keystrokes, and it's very intuitive. It's almost like you are explaining the application to another human being. It's a very human way of relating what you want the software to do. You don't really write the software. You just tell Appian what you want it to do. And then Appian takes your instructions and creates from that software that also just happens to run natively on every mobile device and run in every cloud and be highly scalable and highly available and have fallbacks and have high security. And we just build all those things in because you never had to write that yourself. You just had to say what the software should do, and the translation layer is capable of providing all that power.
Does anyone else do that?
Well, there are some firms that allow you to build powerful applications, right? And then there's other firms that allow you to build applications in a really simple way. But I like to think that Appian is the only one that allows you to build really powerful applications in a simple way. So we've got the combination of the two essential virtues that make up low code.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, where we speak with the CEOs who've reinvented the fabric of America. We're here today with Matt Calkins, and he is the CEO of Appian. So let's talk about this, how it applies to the customer experience. So if you're dealing with a CEO, most CEOs, I'm thinking, are not that involved in the software. They're more involved with strategy. Can a CEO then become involved with the software, or that's off the table? That cannot happen.
You know, I think at this point, CEOs have to be involved in the software.
They want to be involved in the strategy.
I think they have to, because strategy is software these days. It used to be that software was
strategy
just,
is software these days? What do you mean by that?
Here's what I mean. In the past, software was used to cut costs. You'd be more efficient, right? We're going to reduce maybe headcount. We're going to consolidate systems. Software used to be about cutting costs. These days, it's not anymore. It's a very strategic element of the organization, differentiative, proactive, customer-oriented. As such, it is squarely in the CEO's court. The CEO must understand and must drive these software projects because the fate of the organization, the character, right, the meaning of the brand now depends on the software.
So give me an example of how a CEO would be involved with software, actually.
So we work deeply with Barclays, the bank, right, on both sides of the Atlantic. And Barclays brought us on. They've got big call centers, naturally, and they make loans and they do banking with people. And one of the call centers in particular that they run has to do with making loans for domestic purchases. You want to buy a kitchen or a motorhome or a car or something like that, they make you a loan. And so it used to be they'd have a call center for that, and people would call in, and there'd be so many different things that could happen as a result of that call. They'd be touching different systems, right? Different applications would be used and different databases actuated, and it was all just a little too dispersed. So they bring in Appian, they consolidate the customer records so that everything known about the customer is known in one place. And suddenly your customer experience gets a lot better. Customer calls in, you know everything about that customer. It's good to hear from you again. How's this issue? Did we solve that one, right? You can really talk about the customer based on knowing their past. You can also accelerate handling their issues, and they did. In fact, issue handling got 89% faster, and customer satisfaction jumped 64% the first 30 days after we were installed. By the way, that particular thing I'm talking about was 6 applications in 6 months. And if you know software, you know that typically that's a lot faster than you can write unique software applications. They often take years. And we did 6 at Barclays, on our platform, 6 applications in 6 months. So we were kind of breaking the sound barrier here when it comes to the speed of building new applications and improving performance to boot.
Sort of like Moore's Law reversed or on steroids or something.
Well, you're stealing my lines here. You know I love to talk about Moore's Law and about how we need to cut away the impedance in human time of building software so that it becomes something malleable and quickly created, and you can create it in response to a change in the industry, in a response to change in consumer demand, a new strategy, you get a new software. I believe that software needs to be part of a rapid reaction approach to the changes in business, whereas today it's considered a little bit too slow to be in the vanguard.
So just walk through, how long does software usually take to develop, and how long will with Appian software take?
Typically, developing a major application at a large business will take multiple years. 1 to 3 would be a good estimate. And in Appian, you do that in a couple months.
Oh, so now I got it. So the whole key is this. CEOs are saying strategy is moving too quickly. I don't have the time. So now you're going to help them implement the strategy.
Yeah, we got to have software move at the speed of business. And business these days moves at the speed of the customer, and that's faster than ever. So software needs to be created faster and changed faster. You take any IT organization today and ask when they last updated all their unique applications, they might say, never. They don't have time. They're moving on to the next thing, and so they're dragging along a lot of out-of-date software that's security risk, very expensive, and dragging them down because it's out of date. So being able to bring your software up to date and make it work on the latest device, the latest cloud, and also in the latest strategic manner is really important these days.
I know you've been involved deeply. You talked about call centers before,
yeah.
And you're coming up with new products in call centers.
We are. You know, for a long time, Appian has been strictly a horizontal product, which is to say we're a platform only. We never built anything on top of that platform and tried to sell it separately, but finally, we've changed. We've become a larger company now, and I thought we
You've got a
little over 1,000 people now. That's right. We've been public for about a year and a half. And so we decided to build an application. We chose the contact center. We built an intelligent contact center product. And that product is it's unique amongst all the industry in running a contact center. This is a moment of change anyway in the contact center industry because technology is making new things possible, like artificial intelligence is making new things possible, and demands for better communication with your customers are changing what's expected from call centers. It's a natural change point in the industry, and then we responded to that change point by offering a product that is uniquely advantaged in its ability to handle cases. Contact centers typically today are very good at taking phone calls and not so good at what happens after the phone call. After the phone call, you've got to do the thing the customer asked for. You've got to make the change, start the process, get the ball rolling. Something needs to happen behind the scenes, and that's all called case management. Well, Appian's considered the world's number one case management firm, and so we figured we should bring our case management strength to the call center market and kind of be particularly good at the thing the call centers are typically not particularly good at.
Okay, you've about a minute left. What is the website first?
It's appian.com. Appian.com.
And people have heard this a year ago, but just one sentence of where the name comes from.
Absolutely. Well, I'm a history buff. And so the name comes from the Roman road. You know, the road built in ancient Rome, which survives to this day, and I've walked on it, survives to this day. It's macadamized, it's layer after layer, it's exquisitely engineered, and it used to follow southeast out of the Roman capital, and you can even see the carriage grooves carved into the stones to this day. It got so much use. It's been there for 2,000 years and still going.
And there you have it. We're going to take a break now, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the IPO and about the future of artificial intelligence. Back in a few.
Broadcasting to over 1,000 radio stations, GCN programming is in all of the largest markets. A GCN advertising career could be the business opportunity you've been waiting for. Companies need hardworking representatives just like you to handle their needs, while you earn residual income which can last for years. Companies are buying and they need you. Email advertise@gcnlive.com or call 877-996-4327. That's 877-996-4327.
Long-distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Get relief for your neck or back pain when you search Amazon for sunshine pillows, heating wraps, and pads, often listed as an Amazon choice.
Why take another pill?
Now, from Sunny Bay and by customer demand, we introduce our extra-long neck heating wrap, a complete wrap, wide and hands-free, and brings fast relief to those who suffer from neck or back pain.
You can easily find sunshine pillows on Amazon.
Or search Amazon for our new Sunny Bay disposable heat pads. Or look for Sunny Bay heated neck wraps for relief from back pain to menstrual pain and cramps.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
See why our company, Biomed DB Design, has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Just go to Amazon.com and search Sunny Bay or call us 253-678-1361.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I am 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-318-1251. That's 800-318-1251. 800-318-1251.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and we're here today with Matt Calkins, who is the CEO of Appian. Something that could take 3 years to create software, because every company is a software company now, you could do in a couple of months, which is critical for strategy.
The world's crying out for this. It just takes so long to build and change software, and everybody yet needs software, so it's a big necessary evil, and we're finding a way to do it really easily.
So let's talk about your IPO.
Yeah.
You know, 2017, you started, you know, about a little 20 years earlier. And what prompted you to do it? And most importantly, what were the challenges you faced? And how did you have what was termed as the most successful software IPO of 2017?
Right. The reason we did it, now it wasn't for the money. I know most firms, they do it for the money. And they do it because their investors want to get out. Now, that wasn't the case for us. We didn't need the money because, unlike almost any tech firm, we broke even, roughly, on our way to the IPO. For 18 years, we've been in business before the IPO and broke even. And our investors didn't want to get out. In fact, they didn't sell in the IPO. So it was really for the profile. We did it because we needed a higher profile, not just for the company, but for the industry. We had this new idea, this low-code idea, and I thought it's just what the world needs, but the world doesn't know it. And so an IPO would be a good way to raise the flag and let people realize that this is a meaningful trend that can even send a company to the public markets.
And so what was the biggest challenge you faced?
There's a lot of good and a lot of bad that can come out of an IPO. You can get distracted. Your employees can get distracted. You can have volatility at the top ranks. You can develop a bad case of short-term eyesight and worry more about the next quarter than you worry about the next decade. I think we've avoided all those things. We've worked hard to avoid all those things, and we've attempted to just get the best out of the IPO, which is the profile and the intelligent scrutiny from investors and analysts. Those are wonderful things. And so we did the IPO to get those things, and I feel great about the benefits that we've seen. But keeping this balance, not becoming too investor-focused but still listening to them, that's a difficult thing. I think it's really important that the company proceed to execute as if they were not public. Right? Only a few of us
good
need to
point.
Act like we're public. Everybody else should just keep steady on. We're here for the long run. The public, that wasn't our finish line. That was more or less our start line.
Everyone's talking about artificial intelligence,
yes,
augmented reality, which I think is bigger than virtual reality by far. What's your picture in the next couple of years of what will change in our world?
Well, I love the ones you picked. I think artificial intelligence, it's trendy these days. You can't but say it, but it's undoubtedly going to matter. I'll fault it a little bit for being more hype than substance so far.
Mm-hmm.
I think that artificial intelligence has been spoken about a great deal, implemented a little bit, created a small amount of value, and done a few amazing things that mostly had to do with board games and visual recognition.
Which is funny, because actually, truth be told, you are an award-winning board game inventor.
I know a little bit about board games.
Yeah. So they go to the same website to find out about those board games?
No. Okay. I keep it separate from the
You just Google him and you'll find
it. Figure it out.
So, okay. Sure. So now I know Ginni Rometty had said that,
yes,
she calls it from IBM augmented intelligence instead of artificial intelligence, which I thought is a subtle but significant difference.
Well, yes. Artificial intelligence is strictly false. In fact, according to to the original definition of artificial intelligence. This is not the AI that everybody's talking about. They're really talking about machine learning. However, if she says augmented intelligence, I like that phrase. I wonder if she's thinking the same thing I'm thinking when
what
she
are you
says
thinking?
That. I'm thinking that artificial intelligence is actually best suited to augment human intelligence at this point. It shouldn't be making decisions. It shouldn't be writing your software. It shouldn't be talking to your customers. It should be advising humans who do all those things. Artificial intelligence would be great for appraising the value of an asset. How much is this customer going to be worth lifetime? How much is this damage to a bumper going to cost us to fix? That kind of a parsing of an image or a concept, AI is fantastic at that. Tell me whether this customer is happy or not based on the text they wrote me. AI is fantastic at that. In fact, we built it into our product. We loved that function so much. So AI is great at advisory, lower in the stack kind of work right now. And as such, I think augmented intelligence would be a nice way to describe the human-machine duality that I believe should be making decisions in the near future, not the machine by itself.
And how will that impact a regular company? You look at like a General Motors. How will that impact it?
Yeah. Well, I'll speak about it from my perspective, if you don't mind. I'll put this in context of what we would do at Appian. Appian traditionally routes work through an organization, like a workflow. We send work in the past. We send it to people. Every time there's a job, we give it to a person.
Mm-hmm.
In the future, and even right now, we're an orchestrator that sends jobs now to multiple destinations. It could be people, according to their expertise and their role, but it could be robots. It could be RPA bots. It could be AI processes, machine learning processes. We now route work to entities other than human beings. This is really interesting. Right now, the workforce is effectively not just human. And so you can just expect to have different jobs taken by different entities according to their strengths.
And how will this change the structure of the workplace?
I think that there's a saying that any change you can see coming is going to be bigger but farther away than you think. And I think that applies to AI. I think it's going to have enormous changes. There's going to be jobs that belong with AI, and it's going to allow humans to be freed up to take more higher judgment jobs. So I think the change will be profound. But in the short term, the change might be a little less profound than people are expecting because AI is best suited today to an advisory capacity.
Okay, you've about 2 minutes left, and I want to ask you about the process of involving CEOs in software development, which is, in a sense, what you're allowing them to do with a shortened time.
That's right. We're making software strategic, and so it's absolutely the CEO's business what you do with it. The CEO is involved in things like entering new markets, differentiating against competition, and, of course, the buzzword of the year, digital transformation. Digital transformation essentially means using technology to create a better customer experience. That is so squarely the CEO's job. There are a few things that are more the CEO's job than using technology to create a better customer experience. And these days, technology is the new battleground. So you might make up your mind about which airline you like to fly based on whether you can rebook your ticket online or something, right? You care about the software. You might choose your favorite home improvement company by whether you can order the item from the aisle when you see that it's missing, right? You might choose your favorite retailer based on how quickly they ship or how easy the login is into their application. The fact is, many of your customer preferences these days, and mine, are based on software. We're actually choosing our favorite companies, not based on the logo, the storefront. We're choosing based on the software these days. It's one of the most important factors. And so a CEO who cares about competitive positioning, cares about customer experience, cares about brand definition, monetizing the assets of an organization, these days, that all comes down to software, and it's generally unique software that has to be kept up to date according to strategy and changes in the market.
Well, on that inspirational note, a pleasure having you on the CEO Show, Matt.
Robert, it's my pleasure.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.